If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. I'm your host, Steve Stewart. We're here every Tuesday and Thursday at noon. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at Above the Fold. And you can stream the show live at realtalk93.com. Thanks for tuning in as we finish a very busy week. You know, school started, but I think Monday of next week will be the sort of ushering in of the transition from summer to beginning the new few months at the end of the year here, with kids fully engaged in their activities at school and their schedule. Also, kids that were going off to college, which I have a couple, are getting situated this week. So this is a little bit of a crisis week emotionally, and also from a logistics standpoint of getting kids where they need to be to start college, all amid the resurgence of this COVID pandemic, which is everywhere in the media. We're seeing hospitalizations here locally reach new highs. And so it's just becoming a real downer in terms of having to deal with all this, the different policies from city to city, from school to school. And so anyway, we're going to talk about that in the bottom of the hour. Leon County Schools has a comprehensive COVID dashboard up on their website. And you know, if you listen to this show, you will have heard me criticize Governor Ron DeSantis about stopping the flow of information when the COVID numbers started to fall this year. Just basically quit providing the daily updates. And now what we are is we're caught in this middle of this upswing of the pandemic. We don't have information to evaluate, you know, what part. It used to be like here, we would look at Leon County, we could see where the cases were by zip code. You get an idea of the number of hospitalizations every day and how it compared to state numbers. Obviously, you got death numbers. There was more information also. I think one of the things people like to understand is, like, what is my risk? And, you know, there was a lot more talk in the beginning of this pandemic about, who was most susceptible to a very bad outcome, and that was communicated. We don't hear that now. It's all about vaccination. They give the hospital, some of the hospitals give numbers in terms of this is who's vaccinated and unvaccinated. It doesn't really tell you about, you know, wait a minute, who is going to the hospital? Are these people still the ones that are having issues that fit this criteria where the COVID virus was affecting people? For example, I mean, you heard for such a long time that it was, you know, the survival rate, you know, if you were elderly, obese, diabetic, or you had an issue with your immune system, those were the ones that were really having an issue with surviving this. And here we went after vaccinating the over 65 population pretty aggressively. So now we're not hearing that. It's more about the vaccination and unvaccinated. And what we got with the Leon County Schools has been in session for a little over a week. They've got this COVID dashboard, and we'll go over the numbers. I want to tell you what's there. And then I'm going to tell you sort of the weakness of those numbers and also some of the conclusions that we're seeing on Facebook about, you know, what schools are opting out and obviously race plays a role in this back and forth on social media. So we'll talk about that at the bottom of the hour. The next segment, actually staying with schools, we're going to talk about a story that Taos Reports published, I believe on Wednesday morning, in regards to the increase in sport event tickets here locally. The title of the story is High School Sports Ticket Prices to Increase at Least 50% for Students and Parents. This is something that, if you've been listening to this show, I'm a little bit passionate about. And we're going to dig into this. I mean, there's so many studies that show the importance of sports and extracurricular activities for students, and why this is being done right now and in the process and in the way it's being done just raises so many questions beyond actual sports. I mean, there's enough questions on the actual sports itself and why it's, you know, it's really going to hurt the school spirit at some of these high schools. It's going to diminish the number of people, reduce the number of people coming to these events. But then you go even beyond that. It's like, how did we even get here? What decision-making process drove us to do this? And we don't have all the answers on that yet, but we're going to continue to talk to the people involved with it. We'll share some more information that we found out that's not in the story by reading the contract of this applicant or this company that's providing this digital ticket. And so we'll go over that. We've got some airport news that we'll talk about in the last segment here. You know, the airport has struggled, but actually was getting its feet underneath itself heading into the pandemic. Traffic was increasing. We had a new service in was added in June to Houston by United Airlines. Some of these things now have changed. We'll give you a reset on the airport, where our traffic is, and also the news of the United Airlines ceasing operations here. Now, to qualify that, it's not just Tallahassee. We did a little bit of research. United Airlines is dumping a lot of these smaller hubs all over the country. We'll tell you about what's driving that, one of the things that's driving that, and you know what the impact of that is moving forward. Also, before we get out of this segment, wanted to just, we have a story on former Leon County School Superintendent Jackie Pons. He has taken a job as a principal in Jefferson County. There's one school in Jefferson County. It was handed over to a charter company a couple years ago. It's K through 12, about 800 students. Mr. Pons has been hired as the transition principal, and that means that the charter company will be leaving Jefferson County next year. And so Mr. Pons is going to be taking that over. He is basically shadowing the principal there now. And then when the charter school leaves next year, he'll be in charge as the principal of that school. Again, as a K through 12, 800 students. Expect there'll be Mr. Pons is excited about creating his home team. There'll be a number of openings, I'm sure, because of the charter company leaving. And obviously, Mr. Pons lost in his last election running against Rocky Hanna. And if you remember, there was this massive FBI investigation and a lot of allegations. And eventually, after the election and after Mr. Pons lost, the FBI, which is a little bit out of the ordinary, basically issued a letter saying that the investigation was over and there was no wrongdoing that would lead to any kind of action by the feds related to Jackie Pons. So he's moving on and getting back into, you know, he was a principal here in Leon County, so this is not new to him. So it'll be interesting to follow what happens there over the next couple of years. But so when we get back, we will pivot to Leon County schools and we will talk about the increase in these ticket prices and the many different facets of this issue and this decision. So stay tuned. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold. We'll be right back after this break.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
Welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3, our Thursday edition. Above the Fold is brought to you in part by Epps Decorating Center. If you're a homeowner, you should always be looking for ways to increase the value of your home. But it doesn't always have to be a major project. A fresh coat of paint can transform the interior and exterior of your home in a dramatic way. And I recommend starting with a visit to Epps Decorating Center, Tallahassee's premier Benjamin Moore paint retailer. Whether you need interior or exterior paint, high-end or commercial-grade coatings, Epps Decorating Center is ready to serve you. Give them a call at 385-6649. That's 385-6649. And we appreciate their sponsorship here Above the Fold. All right, we're going to pivot to Leon County Schools' decision to increase ticket prices for high school sporting events. In addition to increasing the prices, they're going to be using an out-of-state ticket vendor that will basically control the ticket process using a digital app called the GoFan app. In some cases, the cost of these tickets to these sporting events will triple for students and increase 50% for adults. Now, we have a story up on Taos Reports about this. And before I get into the details of this is a couple things. This is the exact type of story that I had envisioned that we would continue to cover. And we do a lot of this stuff on Above the Fold. This is something that is not getting a lot of media attention anywhere else. And the attention that it is getting has been incomplete. But this is something that affects thousands of people. And it raises a lot of questions from a lot of different angles. First of all, why are we doing this? Who does it help? And then when you get to answering those questions is, wait a minute, you can't answer those questions. So, you know, is this how we're operating at Leon County Schools with regards to some of these decisions? So, you know, the other part of this is that there are studies and you hear people talk about how extracurricular activities and sports are so good for students. It keeps them engaged. It affects their mental health, affects their physical health, impacts their grades. And so this is something that we should be promoting. We should be promoting people getting involved at not only the high school level, but at the middle school level. And when they get involved, that's not the end of it. That's where the work begins. You want to continue to get people involved, and you want to show them that, hey, this is the right decision for you. Look, you're a part of a team. You're getting to play, or you're getting to practice anyway, but in some levels like middle school, you should get to play. So this is an area that is really an integral part of a kid's day. And I will tell you, having six children, I can attest to this. It is just unbelievable. At the end of the day, someone involved with a sport or extracurricular activities is much more engaging, much more, it builds confidence and self-esteem. Now, having said that, we're going to pivot to this because I think this decision on these school tickets just is a decision which is going to hurt that mission. It's going to hurt the attempt to get people more involved. Now, as I said, ticket prices are going up. The new process requires Leon County High Schools to use the GoFand app to provide tickets for all football games. Now, it was recently reported that the price to attend these games was going to change from $6 to $8 using this app. So look, that's a pretty hefty increase from pre-pandemic prices anyway, from $6 to $8. The way I look at that is a family of three going to watch their son play football, it's going to be $24. That's, again, getting a little bit expensive to go watch high school sports. But what was not reported is that there's a dollar processing fee charged by GoFan for all ticket prices under $10. So with this processing fee, the cost of a parent to attend a high school game will be $9. Now that's a 50% increase over the 2019 cost of $6. Now please remember that this $9 applies to anyone over 3 years old. So if you're going to take a seven-year-old to the game, it's going to be $9 to go watch a high school football game. Now, look, in addition, there's going to be no physical tickets. The tickets will be purchased and stored digitally on a smartphone. No cash will be accepted. And, you know, there are, like I said, under the GoFand app ticket process, there's no pricing for students or children. It's all $9 for everyone that's above 3 years old. Now, what we have been able to find out is if you look at the contract, in the contract, they won't allow schools to collect cash on site because they are, this agreement that Leon County Schools has appeared to have signed, is they are the sole provider of ticket services to these sports. Now, if you get past the increase in the prices here, and then the next thing is this GoFan company is located in Atlanta, Georgia. This means that approximately 20% of the revenue collected from fans attending high school sporting events in Tallahassee will be transferred out of state. So this is money that our parents are going to be spending to go watch their kids play sports are going to go to Atlanta. Now, here is the real kicker on all this, is that other sports are going to also be impacted from this. Now, I'm trying to get the details on how this is going to work, but I've been told that the other, let's use the fall sports, for example, and we'll stick with volleyball. Pre-pandemic, the tickets were $5 for an adult, $2 for a student. Now, And you could pay at the door, obviously. You would pay cash. You go into the sporting event. Now, under this new regime or this new process, they're going to use the GoFund, the GoFan app. The ticket prices for adults are going to stay $5. For the students, it's going to get bumped up to $5. But when you add the dollar processing fee to the cost of the tickets, now it's suddenly $6. So the student price has tripled to $6. And once again, don't forget that these service fees are going to be collected and they're going to go out of town to a company in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, it doesn't take a PhD in economics to understand that if you triple the price of something, you're going to sell less of it. And so we go back to what we talked about earlier in the segment with sports and extracurricular activities being so important to the life of students. Why on earth are we changing this policy now, coming out of a pandemic where kids can use all the upbeat support they can get? Why are we trying to discourage students from going to sports? That just, it boggles my mind. It will continue until I get somebody on the record of who do they think this was impacting? Okay, now obviously, you know, if you look at this from, and this is my opinion, what this is doing is this is putting more pressure on parents. And it's just not the money. You got to download the app, okay? You got to pay the increased pricing. If you've got your, you know, grandparents coming to town, all right, all of a sudden you've got to, you know, you got to buy tickets for them because there's no senior citizen discount. If you happen to have a large family, it's, you know, you have to take out a mortgage to go to the football game. And so this is putting more stress on families. So who's it benefiting? Well, you know what? It makes it easier for school administration officials. That's what it does. They can track the money easier because all the money is going to Atlanta, and then they're going to send reports back to the school district after they take their processing fees. So it's easier for administration officials. Now look, you know, if you go read one of the first comments on this story in Taos Reports, it was my thought exactly. You've got clubs that need money. You've got clubs that are doing car washes to raise money. Why don't you set up a system to where clubs are selling the tickets for these games, these events, and they get to keep 20%. That would, first of all, let's say we don't even change prices. That would make more sense to me. Now, again, I'm going to argue, if I'm superintendent, students get into all these sporting events for free. I mean, that's just, I don't know. Maybe somebody could run for office on that and just win on that issue alone. I actually think parents should get half price for the amount of money they've got to pay to support their kids in these sporting, on these teams. And so, you know, again, we are way off on this. I'm not sure I understand. We're gonna get some elected officials. We're going to get the people that made these decisions on the record. I want them to tell me, first of all, what was their thinking? Why is this better than the other system? Who's it benefiting? And I want to know, how are we wrapped up into this contract to where we can't get out of it? Because I really think that there's going to, when parents realize the cost of this, and then when students realize it, they're not going to go. There's two or three volleyball games a week. It's going to cost the student, it's going to cost them $18 to go. Oh, I get more upset about it the more I talk about it. All right. We'll get out of this segment and we'll be back bottom of the hour. We'll talk about the COVID dashboard and all the numbers there and exactly how those can be misinterpreted and why actually we could use a little bit more information to figure out exactly what's going on. All right. I'm Steve Stewart. You're listening to Above the Fold. We'll be right back after this break.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3. I'm your host, Steve Stewart. All right, this is the COVID segment. You know, hospitalizations, I think, are over 200 here now in Leon County, surpassing the record-setting form in terms of compared to the pandemic last year. And I got to tell you, I've looked around on this. I'm trying to understand exactly. We've had all these vaccinations, I guess, and people that have had COVID, so they have the natural immunity. And so that's got to be close to 70%. But how is it that we are getting so more hospitalizations now? And I know that the narrative has been this because of the unvaccinated. And I think I saw the stat here locally, 10 to 12%, I think, of people being hospitalized have been vaccinated. So it is the majority have not been vaccinated. But, you know, I think there's other questions that sort of need to be answered here in the sense of, again, with the narrow population that hasn't been vaccinated, how are we having more hospitalizations? I don't think we're getting enough information about exactly what's driving that. Again, the narrative is about unvaccinated, but is it people that were routinely impacted last year by COVID in terms of people being having other conditions, having challenging immune systems, obesity, diabetes, things like that? We're not getting that type of information. But the type of information we are getting, though, from the Leon County School Board with their dashboard, and I will tell you, I'm impressed by the way they're presenting this. I'm not sure exactly how accurate all the numbers are, but they are looking at they've got a dashboard that looks at three different measures, and every day they update this. They look at the number of cases. They look at if it's and they provide you the information on. By schools. And so they provide that. And then they also have the number of students that are quarantined. And this is based on, you know, who is sitting around someone who actually tested positive. And then there's, they've included in this the breakdown of the opt-out forms for masks, which is a little bit over 2,500, and which is right around a little over 7%. Of the total student body. Now, if you think that out of these 33,000 students that only 2,500 people are not wearing a mask in these schools, then you're not really thinking this through, because I have kids in school and they're telling me that they've got some classes where there's no one wearing a mask. And I'm not passing judgment either way here. But the number of the students that aren't wearing masks don't have opt-out forms. And so anyway, I would be a little bit suspect of that stat. The other two numbers, which are basically driven by testing and what the school district does, I would be more apt to believe that there's been 178 positive tests of school of kids in school. And then obviously the quarantine process is a policy that has been devised by Leon County Schools. And so the numbers are here. I think that, you know, the debate around the state about masks, I think this is what this is sort of aimed at trying to deal with. One thing I want to talk about is, in the beginning of this segment, I talked about, I think we're getting a lack of information, and I've been critical of Governor DeSantis on that point. And here's a perfect example of why. So this data has come out, and there are people people a lot of time on their hands are graphing the opt-out forms and plotting it against the race of the school to show that mostly white schools lead in the number of opt-out forms. And they're trying to obviously, you know, put race into this issue, and their numbers are correct. If you look at the number of opt-out forms that are actually signed, the top four are in the Northeast. It's Childs High School, Montford Middle, Roberts Elementary, and Deer Lake Middle School. Then after that, you've got Leon High, and then three more Northeast schools: Killarn Lake Elementary, Hawks Rise Elementary, Gilcrest Elementary, and DeSoto Trail Elementary. So out of the opt-outs, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, out of the the top nine schools with the most opt-outs, eight of them, let me make sure I say this right, eight of them are north of I-10 in the northeast part of town. And so if you go on Facebook and get involved in the social media, you start seeing this, people talking about the white, wealthy part of the segment is endangering our community from, you know, opting out of these masks. Now, the thing is, if some of you remember, if you're a mathematician or into statistics, you know, causation and correlation are two different things. And, you know, I can think of another reason why the opt-out forms in the Northeast might be a thing. And that would be if you looked at before the state quit doing away with the data they were providing on a daily basis, you could look at the cases by zip code. You could look at the negative outcomes by zip code in terms of deaths. And it just happens to be, I think, a coincidence that the Northeast Tallahassee, where the cases were less prevalent and so were the negative outcomes, that's where you see people opting out of masks. And I bet you probably, you might see, although I won't go there with the vaccination rates, but the point being this, people make their decisions based on the risk that they feel or the risk that they calculate. And, you know, in the Northeast where you've, I think it's one in 14 people have had a case of COVID over the last year and a half. And you compare that to zip code 32304, and you've got, you know, one in seven, almost twice the prevalence of the COVID virus between those two zip codes that are probably less than actually 10 miles apart. And so, you know, before we turn to, you know, race on this issue, maybe we could do a little bit more of an analysis on this and figure out that, hey, look, maybe the reason they're opting out is because of the obvious lessened risk in this part of town. Now, I know that's not going to satisfy a lot of people because people think that, you know, that masks are the end all here. And look, there's, you know, I've thought about writing articles about this. There are studies out there everywhere. You know, the thing that I will just say here, and I'm not, obviously, I don't think that masks are the answer here. I think it's become more of a political tool. I think vaccinations have more of an actual impact on the virus. Now, there are other issues with that we can talk about later. But, you know, if you look at what's going on in Hawaii compared to what's going on in Florida, Hawaii's been on a strict lockdown, mask mandates, and the curves of the virus are almost identical. I think that is probably going to be more powerful than anything with regards to the mask. Now, the other thing that I'm a little bit uncomfortable with is not knowing the exact stats of what's going on in these hospitalizations, other than just getting that, you know, 80% or 85% are unvaccinated. I know that we did get from one hospital that there was four kids between 10 and 17 that are in the hospital. There were no kids, I think, in the other hospital. So I'm just not getting the numbers to show me exactly what the risks are for children. Now, this is probably going to come out over the next week or so, and we'll see. But again, I will hand it to Leon County Schools for the level of detail that they're providing, with the one critique on the opt-out forms, which I think in no way measures who's wearing a mask and who's not. And then I think it's going to be interesting to watch the cases here. You know, something that they don't add here is anything about symptoms, because that's one of the things that we've heard from kids that get COVID is they're, they may test positive, but they have no symptoms. And so, again, that doesn't seem to matter in the process in terms of the quarantine. And so I guess I should add this. The number of total kids as of Friday that are being quarantined was 636, 2% of the 33,000 kids that are going to school every day. So anyway, all right, when we get back, we'll tie up some loose ends, we'll give you some news on the airport, and we'll talk about a couple of state stories. So stay tuned. You're listening to Above the Fold. I'm Steve Stewart.
If it's local and it matters, it's Above the Fold with Steve Stewart on Real Talk 93.3.
All right, welcome back to Above the Fold here on Real Talk 93.3, our remaining segment. Above the Fold is brought to you in part by Spartan Stoneworks. One of the most common and cost-effective upgrades anyone can make to the home is the kitchen. You're almost guaranteed to increase the value of your home with an updated kitchen. The quality materials are like granite, quartz, and marble countertops can get expensive. Well, not when you go with Spartan Stoneworks. Pricing will be lower at Spartan because they do not mark up the cost of stone materials. Great pricing, amazing craftsmanship, and quick turnaround from an honest local company. Give them a call at 765-2037, 765-2037. And we appreciate their sponsorship of Above the Fold here. And as I meant to say, this is our last segment here on our Thursday show, headed into the weekend. I'm looking forward to that. But wanted to tie up some loose ends on some issues that are out there. I guess this came out last night. I heard about it from I think WCTV was the first to write about this, but United Airlines is going to cease Tallahassee operations. Officials with Tallahassee Airport announced via social media that SkyWest, operating as United Airlines, will discontinue service to various markets across the country, including Tallahassee, after October 1st. We've got a story up on this at TallahasseeReports.com. United Airlines announced the addition of daily direct flights to Houston from Tallahassee International Airport in June of 2020, so just a little bit over a year. The statement noted that while the airline industry has been impacted globally by the pandemic, Tallahassee continues to see the demand for air travel rebound locally and, quote, remain focused on expanding service options for our customers. We've got a link in here to our latest passenger report by Tallahassee Reports, which indicates that the June 2021 traffic was approximately 90% of the pre-pandemic June traffic in 2019, which is a good sign. We're getting back to those levels. In addition, passenger traffic at the Tallahassee Airport has increased in each of the last 4 months. Now, look, we're nowhere near where we want to be or where we hope to be, but we are making progress. This decision by the United Airlines has nothing to do specifically with Tallahassee. Obviously, you know, they're not making a lot of money off of the route, or they would have kept it here. But if all you do is a quick Google search, and you can see that United Airlines is killing a number of routes across the country. One of them, for example, is San Angelo, Texas. The cancellation of service there was attributed to the current worldwide pilot shortage, along with major industry occurrences. San Angelo officials said the San Angelo to Houston route has not met market expectations for passenger load factors. Upcoming ticket sales through September are not projected to be profitable enough for SkyWest Airlines, the operating company of United Express Airlines in San Angelo. Now, it was also noted here in the San Angelo article that the rise in early retirement in 2020 caused major airlines to hire a significant number of pilots from regional carriers, leaving smaller communities across the country underserved. So I think, you know, that's what's going on here. Obviously, you know, the Tallahassee International Airport has struggled to really get competitive rates, has been one of the issues. And then just as we were sort of trying to make some progress, the pandemic hit, and obviously you know what it did to the airline industry around the world. So anyway, that's a little bit of breaking news there on the airport. Now, I did want to talk about some state news here. Couple of things. Obviously, the COVID pandemic is dominating a lot of the statewide news. The first thing being all these different school districts, which are now openly defying the law or the order by Governor Ron DeSantis of requiring these school districts to have a parental opt-out for masks. You know, this started a couple weeks ago, and Leon County got on the other side of this, but they made a decision to provide the opt-out. But Alachua and Broward County decided to stay the course. There's some threatening letters, and now it looks like there's just a number of rogue school districts that have just completely defied the law here and have decided that they're mandating masks without a medical or a letter from a doctor or a signature from a doctor. So you've got, I think, all the counties in South Florida, Broward, Miami-Dade, Palm Beach, have decided to do a mask mandate in the schools. And now this comes also with some support from the feds, and more specifically, President Joe Biden, who is let these districts know that he's on board if you want to violate the law or the order of Governor Ron DeSantis. So, you know, I don't know where this is going to go, because, you know, at some point, if a law is on the books and it's not being followed, you either have to take some kind of action to implement it, or it just becomes completely ignored. And let me tell you what, this is something that will result in a loss of credibility for Governor DeSantis in a very short period of time, I'm afraid. So so we'll have to see what the next step is, but it doesn't help that you've got the President of the United States and his administration encouraging these people to follow the mask mandate policy, despite what is Florida law. So anyway, we'll see where that goes. Now, if we move next to some political polling that's taken place, a couple things I wanted to mention here. First, there's a poll out, and again, this is, if my memory serves me correct, St. Pete polls showed DeSantis leading his nearest challenger, again, by about 2 points. That would be Charlie Crist, and then, you know, further lead with Nikki Fried. But the poll that just came out between Val Demings, who is running against Senator Marco Rubio, has Marco Rubio in the lead, 46-44. Now, look, you know, I'm reluctant to report these polls given the history here, but I do think that what we can do when we're reporting the polls, and we'll get more into this as we get closer to the election, is to go back and look at some of these, you know, national polls were, you know, sort of a disaster. But if we go back and look at the state polls in 2016 and 2018, look who was doing the polling. And then with the polls coming up in 2022, we might be able to ascertain some kind of information from this. Obviously, this is about, you know, which way the independents are going to break on a lot of this. But also, don't forget, a lot of people want to make this about Ron DeSantis, but there is a Democratic primary with two, you know, heavyweight, and I put quotes around that, names, with Charlie Crist and Nikki Fried at this point. So that campaign, you really don't see a lot going on there other than people raising money and the two candidates, Fried and Crist, taking shots at Governor Ron DeSantis. At some point, they're going to have to turn their, you know, the political strategies will have to turn and start looking at how are they different. Because the polls that now are indicating that Charlie Crist is leading Nikki Fried, if you look at them overall. And so, again, we'll have to see if anybody else is going to get in the race. Plenty of time, I guess, to do that from a spoiler standpoint. But, you know, I think also what is going to change a lot here is if, based on what we're seeing, is that the COVID cases will start to recede here over the next couple of weeks, that, you know, depending on what happens, they're going to have to pivot issues rather quickly. You know, the Agricultural Commissioner, Nikki Fried, is giving these daily press conferences talking about the numbers. But now, I mean, if they start to flatten out and start heading down, you know, how does that figure in to her political calculus? And then, you know, at some point, like I said, she's going to have to engage with Charlie Crist from a policy standpoint. Why is she better to beat Ron DeSantis than Charlie Crist? And I think we got a little bit of a look into his strategy. Is he's basically, look, I've done the job before and I can do it again. And then I think the ball's going to be back in Nikki Fried's court to respond to that. But it's, you know, everything now, unfortunately, is political. You see the president weighing in on the mask mandates. You see Nikki Fried holding these press conferences every day about the hospitalizations and the COVID cases. And so, you know, beyond that, you know, at some point, I think the majority of the people that are not impacted by the COVID virus are going to be looking at other things in terms of, you know, the economy and things like that. So anyway, thanks for joining me today. Have a great weekend. We're closer to the football season, which is a plus, I hope. And we'll be back here Tuesday at noon. So stay tuned for the Jeff Cameron Show.
Gonna be bright.